When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Get right to the romance and find the way to wow this Valentine's with 1-800-Flowers.com. From classic roses and bouquets to decadent chocolate-covered berries, gourmet treats, and more, surprise your Valentine with 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, get the 18-stem Enchanted Rose Medley for $39.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for $10 more. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in.
Mirror man, mirror man, you twist and turn my mind until I don't know who I am. Mirror man.
Welcome to a new edition of the Arsenal Opinion Podcast. I am here today and I'm live with Johnny. How you doing, Johnny?
Yeah, I'm good, actually. Pretty good. We said we'd be very punctual today, didn't we? We'd hit our 6 p.m. target, you know, because we do stream these days. We don't just pod. It's nice to feel that we're really delivering on our agenda on that front, you know, making time. So you can set your watch by us, guys. That's basically what we're saying. And shout out to everyone listening on pods right now.
And I heard the feedback last week. People did not like the hotel room. So I changed it up. Got my high-vis vest in the background. I've got a whiteboard for when I'm setting up tactical advertising things. And that's how we're going to roll. So, Johnny, how have you rated the last week? I think we're week 4 or 5 of the transfer window. We've still not signed a lot of players, but if you were to give this week a rating out of 10, where would you go?
I would say, it, all things considered, and we'll get onto that, a 7.5. It's certainly
on a
positive upturn. But I did, before we just jump into the meat of what we're going to talk about, want to reference a couple of tweets I got, which kind of speaks into what we're doing now with our whole streaming. And Simon said it best, tweeted me and was like, I've just seen you on Twitch for the first time and I'm still struggling to understand how your voice and your body go together. You know, when you like subconsciously create an image of a person in your mind. I thought you were about 20 years older and bald, but you got more hair than me, apparently. That's what he's saying. So, yes, if you haven't seen me yet, you haven't watched one of our Twitch live streams, I've got loads of hair. I've got a big afro. And following on the back of that, a geezer called Rascloretta.
Rascloretta, that's a nice name.
Like Rasclot, I believe. so some kind of, Rasta influence. I'm digging it. Me too. No offence, but Johnny does sound like a white guy in his 30s to 40s who's been through it a bit. So
that's unbelievable.
Yeah, I did. That really made me laugh anyway, because the reality is I'm not a white guy in his 30s who's been through a bit. I'm a mixed race guy who's been through a bit. So, yeah, definitely been through a bit, though. That bit is clearly coming across in my voice.
The common theme when people see the video is always hair. They're like, you're bald. I thought you were bald and you're not. And it's shocking. What is it with whinging and being bald? Is that a correlation?
I think
seems
so.
To be in most people's minds.
Yeah, I think so. I think old Robert Holding is going to start setting up a pod where he moans a lot, because he's been welcomed into the bald fraternity this week as well, hasn't he? So
he looks like Pascal Seguin,
doesn't he? It's actually worrying for his defensive, like how we can view him. Like when you go bald at Arsenal and you're a centre half, it rarely goes well. Igor Stepanov's Senderos, like. I'm getting panicky already. Rob, like, you might have to get on the Wayne Rooney hair treatment, mate. I need some hair for me to feel comfortable with you. Do something.
Yeah, but Rob Holding goes bald and we sign Ben White, who's got a thick crop of partially bleached blonde hair. It's not a coincidence.
There you go. Which brings us in a lovely way back onto the point, the case in point being that I did think it was a bit of a 7.5 this week, and that was a massive improvement on what we've seen in recent weeks. And that's namely, again, I did mention a 7.5 based on certain things happening, and that revolves around Ben White, because we're kind of saying he's signed now, aren't we? He hasn't technically signed, but as you know, you and I commented earlier, he's still on holiday at the moment, and as long as he doesn't think, like many Brits abroad, do you know, it'd be a good idea. Let's get the mopeds out, geezer. Go for a little whip round the whole island, and then
That's a question. Have you done that? And did you do the customary British thing of crashing a moped? Because I did both.
I've done both
on a Greek
well.
Island.
No, I didn't do it on a Greek island. I did it in Thailand, which was has the lovely little added threat to life to keep you interested, because you know that those little moped huts are always linked to the kind of local mafia. So you bring it back with a little scratch and they start going, oh, that's looking like a 10 grand scratch there, isn't it? It's like, I'm pretty sure I can buy 5 of your mopeds brand new for that. No, it's going to be 10 grand or you're not going home, that kind of vibe. And I got some of it, managed to get them down from about 2 grand down to about 50 quid in the end. So, you know, that it just showed them. I'm like playing chicken with them. Like, do you really want to go there? Yeah, I'm only putting 50 quid in and I'm willing to take my chances. And in the end, they rolled with the punches. But I went down a gravelly track, came off it. And so I know firsthand the threat that young Ben White might be going for if he gets too cocky and thinks he can do a quick lap around the island. We don't need that to happen. And if it doesn't happen, he should be Arsenal's new, central centre-back, the guy who's starting every week. You don't pay £50 million for someone who's coming in every now and then, is he?
No. And just talking of Ben White, and I worried that we maybe tarred Ben White with a brush because of the way that he looks, but somebody messaged me this morning with a bunch of others, and he's from Bombay in India, and he's messaging Ben White on WhatsApp, and Ben White is looking at his name and assumes that it's a Greek woman, I think, and he's having a casual chat with him, and
what, he's definitely Ben White.
It looks like it's Ben White, and it looks pretty legit. And he's just having a chat, and Ben White doesn't realize that it's not a Greek girl that he met the night before. It's a guy, and he's like, goes halfway through. He's like a little bit confused about what's going on. So I don't think that our stereotyping was wrong in this case, but it's exciting because there are some Instagram stories doing the rounds. He is on a plane right now, possibly cutting his break early to join up with a squad in America. So that's exciting. Whatever you think about Ben White, or whatever you don't know about Ben White, Arsenal were investing heavily. That'll be about £80 million we've spent without a penny coming back. So the rumours of Arsenal going big this summer certainly feel like they were true. What do you think about adding Ben White to a defence that's conceded 3 set pieces in 2 games in Scotland so far?
Well, as the wonderful musical collective D Ream once said, things can only get better. So,
D Ream, great
yeah,
song.
Blast from the past. But no, currently, look, at the end of the day, there are loads of people talking about how much you can actually draw from pre-season friendlies. And I, in many respects, in the camp of you don't really have to draw anything out of it. We could be losing 3-4-0 most weeks, and it doesn't mean we're going to lose the first game 3-4-0. However, I don't think it goes that quite that far, because, you know, if you're looking like a shower of shit in every single preseason game, the odds are you're going to look like at least a shower of shit or something close to it early on. Like, you'd like to see, if it was a mixed bag, then there's no correlation necessarily with how we're going to start. It's, you know, there could be lots of different tactics getting tried out, as well as players, which, you know, it won't be the occurrence when the Premier League actually starts. But there are some, considering the defence was our strongest area last year, it was certainly something that we could put, well, Arteta could point to and say we have improved in this aspect upon previous years. And so, you know, we've also lost our most dominant defender, I think we would all agree with, and certainly best on his day. And so I think there's certainly the room in the centre of our defence to come in and really improve things and lay a marker down. And I think that whilst my only issue with Ben White has ever been around the fee, and it's a lot of money. And the fact is I do appreciate the point you've made in previous pods where you've said, look, people keep asking Arsenal to spend big. We go in for a player and then you go too much money. I do get that. And I think it is exacerbated by the fact that we seem to sell everyone for a tenner and a pack of fags.
Yes.
And, you know, and that is creating a bit of a problem with our, you know, plus minuses, if you like. But the issue being, it's not an issue if Kroenke is on a, you know, a sweetheart tour, just trying to chuck money at the club. And ultimately, if I said it like this, if Ben White is our most expensive signing, certainly by a long way, then we've had a poor summer. That is what I would say, because we are going to need, that's, you know, possibly if we snaffle up a Hosemwar for really cheap, that wouldn't necessarily play out. But in general, our most urgent need is in attacking areas, and we are going to need not just like a geezer who's being signed for 5 million on a prove it contract. We need legitimate, substantial help in those areas. So I'd like to see at least someone of a comparable stature or, you know, and potentially funds being invested in an attacking third, because I don't think we're anywhere near complete in that area.
So I guess that takes us on to, we're dancing all over the place here. We had a structure and we've completely ballsed it up already. Arteta said that he's very happy with the sort of players that the scouts have been able to find, the age profile and the value. I think Lokonga could represent immense value. Vincent Kompany, what, cost 12 million for City way back when? And it felt like a steal, and it certainly was a steal. So Lokonga for 18 million, if he gets anywhere near Thomas Partey, you're talking about a 40, 50 million pound player in a couple of seasons. But Arteta did sort of caveat that and say that we're looking for players that can bring certain leadership skills to the table. And whatever we think about David Luiz, you saw the leaving drinks that he got versus the leaving drinks that Mesut Ozil got. Obviously a massive character behind the scenes. The young players always spoke really highly of him. I'm wondering where we get this leadership from. Ben White, I don't know enough about, but he's, you know, he's quite young to be a dominant leader, and he feels like the classy ball playing centre back versus a Tony Adams type. And then you're looking for where do you find that leadership? Because it's probably not going to be in a central attacking midfielder. I'm not quite sure about James Maddison or Coutinho picking up the captain's armband. So it's kind of limiting. I mean, are we putting all of our leadership eggs in the Xhaka replacement basket? Or are there people that are going to step up in the squad? But you know, what do you think about leadership going into next season? Because it's clear we're going to lose two captains of the five in Luis and Xhaka at a minimum.
Yeah. So I think when we talk about leadership, I think that it doesn't always work as a synonymous thing with experience. But on the same note, I think in this front, it does a little. Because I do think that some of our most... our biggest leaders that are left in the squad are actually young players who haven't got the experience. So Saka is a leader for us. He has been for a while now, to be fair. And I think that outside of that, you know, kind of sting in the towel, you know, nasty ending to the tournament, he's had an absolute standout tournament. And I think it will really help him along. I'm hoping for a really big year from Saka this year. One where he steps up to an even a greater level. Emile Smith Rowe as well. I don't think Emile Smith Rowe is jogging around anymore out there feeling like, I'm just pleased to be here. Like, he looks to me like he's ready to make a jump up as well. In, again, how much can you read into pre-seasons? You know, it depends. But from what we did see in the Rangers game, I thought that Emile Smith Rowe looked very much like he was at it. And he looked dangerous and he looked like he was ready to take responsibility. And that is what leadership is. I do, however, think that this is where the area of lack in experience comes in. So whilst there is a Saka and a Smith Rowe in our team who can add that energy and that youthful exuberance, sometimes games get a little bit funny. Sometimes something happens. Maybe someone gets sent off for something innocuous, or you've gone 1-0 down away from home. It's against the run of play. And having know-how is also very key within the squad. And I think that whilst we are kind of heading down with our average age in terms of our a youthful squad that we've got, I think that we do need to flesh that out with some experienced players as well. People who don't panic in those situations. And I think that even having, when you've got your creative hub and your leaders at a younger age, like Smith Rowe and Saka, that's great. And that will really help us out on a lot of fronts. And possibly, you know, you'd like to think, hopefully they're not getting injured because they're younger and they're stronger and they're fitter. But on the same note, there will be some games that they'll be coming across something that they've not seen before, because that's how much they're in their infancy of their career. And that is where it takes wily characters to either, if they're not starting, to be there from the bench, to be able to shepherd you through games. Because that's one thing, as a lot of Arsenal fans, I think we all agree, you know, we're still in that stage where when you're going kind of 1-0 up, you've still got the shakes. You're still like, oh, I don't know if we're going to be able to see this through. Yeah. Still very nervous. And there's not those characters you think, he's been there, he's done it, he knows how to get us over the line. And so I think we need to, at the very least, get experienced players in to come in alongside this new youth project that we're obviously entertaining at this stage.
Yeah, and it's worth noting, going back in history to some of our genuinely incredible captains. Everyone's read the story, Tony Adams had to make sure that Patrick Vieira was switched on, because he'd switch off and drift during games and wouldn't always protect the back four. So, and David Luiz, whatever we think about him, like, you know, we saw all of the errors. You can't deny the immense experience at the very highest level that he had and how inspirational that is. And I really make you right on the idea that it doesn't matter how much talent you've got. If you've never been in a really shitty situation on the football pitch, you're learning for the first time and you don't know whether you are going to have a great reaction. And I think there's definitely been a case over the years with our young squads that they haven't always adapted well to injustice on the pitch. A bad decision goes against us, and all of a sudden players are they get angry, they start lashing out, or they go into their shell if they're getting bullied early on in the game. But I'm just unsure where we're going to find this additional leadership, because you're not going to get that from a right back signing, I don't think. It seems like central defense is buttoned up. Like, how many more players can we add to central defense? And then attacking roles aren't usually sort of inspirational leaders with what we need. So you're looking at one role that we've got to fill and absolutely nail, right? It's the Xhaka replacement. And Locatelli is 23 years old. He's played in a title-winning Italian side, international level. Looks like he has the ingredients, but to come to England and impose leadership when you probably don't quite get the language is going to be difficult. And then you start looking at Ruben Neves. And as much as it looks like Ruben Neves can do the same job that Xhaka can, I don't know whether somebody that couldn't displace Carvalho in the Portuguese squad is going to do that job. So I'm really interested to see what they're going to do. And like, is it leadership by fire, like a Tony Adams or a Patrick Vieira, or are they looking for leadership by example? Because Saka and Smith Rowe lead by example, right? They never stop. They always put their all in. But like, for me, the squad probably needs somebody that can literally lead because of the hierarchical order in the squad. And I don't see where that's going, but it feels like there's a plan this summer. So obviously they've got an idea of what they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of on the same page as you there, to be honest, in terms of, you know, you're not completely sure what their overall plan is, or whether there is a plan to change it away from what we currently have now. Because one of the potential solutions is, you know, Thomas Partey's been here a year now. He's played at the top level. He's got bags of experience. He's a top-class professional. And he's playing absolutely in one of those. Because when you talk about, does that player that replaces Xhaka need to be the experienced one? Well, you know, I would like to see someone who is experienced coming in there, because we've just signed Lokonga, and it doesn't make sense that we would marry him with another unproven commodity in there. It just seems too much of a gamble. However, if you look at it as though Partey's a year on, and can he now, in a more well-established role and team that he's used to the city, he's used to the club, he's used to the characters, can he then make that step up and become much more of a talisman for us? And I think, again, pre-season, pinch of salt, but he's another one who looked to me to be quite at it. Looked like he had a bit of a bit between his teeth there in an early game in a team where he's playing with loads of guys who'll never touch first team all season, clearly. So it's a bit of a makeshift team, but he looked like he wanted to impose his will a bit on the game. And, you know, he's obviously in pre-season strolling mode, but I'd like to see him take a lot more ownership of that midfield. So it's not just a lead by example kind of thing, which he was doing at times last year, because he always had that energy and looked like he wanted to be comfortable on the ball and always wanted to receive the ball, but also a bit more authoritative with his, you know, with his vocal abilities on the pitch, to be that one shouting about. And we don't know what Ben White's like neither. I think Ben White will be coming in here going, well, if it ain't going to be me leading, who else is it going to be? You know what I mean? So maybe he's going to come in looking like he's just had a wild one down sugar art and telling everyone what to do with herself. You know? We know what Ben White's. He's angry that he's missed out on Love Island this year. And he wants the Arsenal team to step up and join him, match him on his level, so it's not a disaster. And, you know, apart from that, we've obviously got Kieran Tierney in there, who adds that leadership from left back. And so I think there are potential solutions there, but I would certainly like to see us add something in centre midfield, someone who has experience, doesn't need to be ancient, but has experience of playing at the top level and can shepherd us through those like difficult periods.
So let's segue in to the fancy Italian midfielder that we're being linked to. Listen, I think that this is, I think we're torturing ourselves. I think we see an obvious replacement for Granit Xhaka in Locatelli. He's bigger. He seems like there are the sort of player that's got less errors in him. He's handsome. He's just won a big international trophy. He's at a small club. Juventus are offering a 2-year loan deal. We can't be getting excited about this. Are we going to expend hope on somebody that seems so far away? Are we going to accept the mirror here? I think we are, right? I think that's what we're going to do. I think we're going to believe. What are your thoughts on Locatelli? And why do you think he could possibly be the answer this summer?
Well, so, I mean, look, we judge all of these rumours with the same pinch of salt. We always say that. But on the same note, we have to pick up on these rumours and talk about them. That's the nature of what we're doing. So it's not set in stone that we're going to sign him. Neither of us believe that. But I think there's a very realistic possibility of it, just because our name keeps getting linked with him in that way. And that doesn't mean that's not approval, because sometimes, as you've previously stated, agents will do it to drive up price and stuff. But if you're telling me that Juventus, and we know this because we've seen loads of clubs do it to us, are offering a, oh, we'll loan him for 2 years, like they're getting some Carphone warehouse deal. You know what I mean? What are you talking about? Loaning, and we might give you some money in the end. Sassuolo or whatever his club is, I can't remember how to say it. They are going to need to cash in on and get some money for him, because they're their best player. So they're going to need to earn a big amount of cash out of this transfer, one way or the other. Just whether the player or not wants to go to Juventus is neither here nor there. If they're like, you're not going on loan for 2 years, that's one thing that's not going to happen. They are going to need to pay us X amount. I think Arsenal could force, this whole situation by offering a reasonable sized amount of money, because at that point, the club will then be forced to say to Locatelli, look, we've had a decent offer. We're definitely taking this. You are not going for 2 years on loan to Juventus, whether you want it or not. So it's stay and play or go to Arsenal for 35 million. And you'll get a pay rise, no doubt, as well. And at that point, I see that as being a realistic outcome. Not saying it definitely will happen, but it could very well happen. What could he bring to the team? I think he's got athleticism way more than what we've seen with Xhaka. He looks like more of a presence. Great range of passing. And so I think that it would be a... And he's got that experience as well, And he's, like you say, he's just won a major tournament, which is a bit of a kick in the teeth. But I don't know, he might have to say sorry to Saka on the way in, to be fair. But yeah, it would be a positive move for us and would certainly continue the upward trend of some of the, in terms of the feeling that some of these recent transfer activities have given us.
Yeah, I agree with all those bits. And I think that there are two ways that this story is going. Like, number one, Sassuolo are trying to extract more from a shit Juve offer, and they're using Arsenal's name. So if that's the case, there's no hope. But the second possibility with this one is Arsenal are the only club that are in for him. And if Arsenal were the only club that are in for him, if we're hanging around waiting to do this deal, that says to me that somebody must have spoken to the player's agent, because Arsenal aren't just going to hang around and waste their time if there hasn't been some sort of invitation along the way. And I read a few pieces this week that says that if he doesn't get his Juventus move, he's not going to move at all. And I have to question that, because if you're a 23-year-old playing for a very middling Italian side, what's the maximum you're going to be earning? I wouldn't be surprised if he's on 25 grand a week. If Arsenal said, here's 120 grand a week, what's the difference over the course of a year to your life, to your pension fund, to your profile? You can always take a move back to Juventus when the money comes back in the system. But staying at that Italian club for another season, and listen, if he has another great season and every big club is paying attention to him, there is no guarantee that Juve are going to be able to, come up with the money next season. Italian football is in deep, deep trouble. So I think if it's just a CEO trying to hype their player, then we should forget about it. But if Juve genuinely can't afford it in this market, when you're a small club, you need cash. You can't defer payment. Like, imagine like a minnow deferring payment of their biggest asset for 2 years. There'd be riots in the stadium car park over that sort of behaviour. So the only hope that I'm taking from this is that the story doesn't seem to go away. It's hanging around. And I remember last year when it was like Arsenal were interested in Thomas Partey, and I was like, get out. We're not interested in Thomas Partey. We're not going to get that player. And then at the end of the window, we landed it. And I think for all the faults of Edu, he seems to be quite sharp to how transfer business works. It doesn't feel like we go down as many blind alleys as we did under Arsene Wenger. If he's sussed out a player that he likes, and look, his agent is an intermediary for Locatelli. If the dark arts of super agent land are going to work for us, please let it work for a good player for once, honestly.
I mean, when you say Edu knows how transfers work, I presume you mean incoming transfers. That's what you're referring to, because I could point you to a few recent ones where, again, we
Albo
can't...
Albowin, not so good yet.
Yeah, not, so good. Yeah, not at all. And it's also funny when you say about, you know, Locatelli playing for a middling Italian club, and he should have the ambition to come to a middling English club, because that's who we are right now. Let's get our profile realistic. We had a horrible year. And I'm only saying that because I think that as Arsenal fans, we sometimes run the risk of being a little bit deluded around the stock that our club holds. Right now, I think we, outside of being able to pay decent wages, which I think is a good point of yours, I don't think he'll be on 25 grand. He's an Italian international. I think he'll probably be on about double that. But I do think, even at double that, I think we could raise his wages, especially
Carl Jenkinson money.
Gunnosaurus Rex was on that. That's why we had to get rid of him for a sabbatical. But yeah, no, I think we'd be able to raise his wages on, you know, whatever he's on out there. And in general, I do think that when you look at Juventus and the prestige they hold within the Italian league, that is the kind of move that they would do to a smaller club. They'd go, look, player wants to come, we'll stick him on loan for a couple of years. And at that point, Sassuolo's only real out are attracting interest from, you know, foreign leagues. And the only way that we can't out-profile Juventus and out, you know, success them in recent times. So we would have to say, we're just going to put the money up. And we're just, oh, you got a question about what we've won recently? Here's some money. Oh, you want to win a league next year? Here's some money. Oh, you want to, it's just that all the time. So, but I do think that we can do that because for you, it has to be a situation where for Juventus, Locatelli is just another player to add to their, you know, chorus of good players. Whereas for us, we'd have to be selling it. Look, mate, you're going to come in and you're going to have the keys to the car. You're going to run everything. So, and have you seen Thomas Partey? He's top level as well. So that's the angle that we would have to sell ourselves on. And if that is the case, I don't think this is a nonsensical rumour. I think there could be legs to it. But at the end of the day, the reason why I'm quite excited by this is because another subject that we might be coming on to now, I think that we've married with the other signing that we've made this week, Albert Sambi Lokonga. I think that we have now kind of put together someone who is going to be to bring the legs and the energy and potentially offer similar levels to what Partey, similar attributes to what Partey might bring to the team. But suddenly we can also marry that with a more technically, well, I do, it might be being a bit rude actually with Lokonga. I think he looks very good technically. So I don't like this narrative. He's just some big athlete and that's it. It's not going to happen. I think he looks quality.
His passing range is exceptional. His passing, I was like, oh, his passing range is like Granit Xhaka. His passing range is like Thomas Partey.
Yeah.
You know, he plays those big, long switch balls. He intercepts. I think he's like he's a shadow player. He's like a younger version of Partey. And that if you have Thierry Henry, feels like one of the, you know, the meanest coaches out there because he judges everybody by such a high standard. If you've got him bigging you up in the press, if you've got Vincent Kompany recommending him and saying you've got to get this guy, not just because of the technical ability, but because of his character, you know, and what he's been through at Anderlecht, I think that's a phenomenal signing.
I do.
You feel like it's difficult to go wrong, right? He's got everything. He's got it all: technical, character.
If you were playing like football top trumps, right, and you got a Vincent Kompany card, then you would be expecting 100 out of 100, 10 out of 10 for leadership, for, you know, mentality. If that was the stat, it would be 100 Vincent Kompany. So if he, who is top of the pops for that attribute, is talking it up, then yeah, I'm excited. And, you know, I also think so many times, and when I think back to previous transfer windows, there's often someone who ends up being the second or third signing without the same fanfare as the big names that we've brought in previous years. I'm thinking Nicolas Pepe comes in, but there was also Kieran Tierney there, and we're sitting there like, I really like that Tierney guy. He's not got the same press as a £72 million player, but thinking we're great. This is what Lokonga feels like for me. He's kind of gone a little bit under the radar, and because the Belgian leagues just don't get the same coverage that the other leagues do. But so much about his profile reads right. And that is what, you know, I've been playing poker again recently, and I'm great. basically, my brother once told me about poker. You can never guarantee what you're going to get, but as long as you can get your chips in while you're ahead. So if when you bet, you've got the strongest hand, that's all you can ask for. If you get bad beated on the way out, then fair enough. And I feel like with Lokonga, we've ticked all the pre-assessment boxes with him. He just looks like a great gamble to roll the dice on, because it wasn't a huge outlay to get him, and he just seems to fit so many of the criteria that we are going to ultimately need in our central midfield and in general in the playing squad moving forward.
Let's just put it out there. This feels like when Arsene Wenger brought Patrick Vieira to Arsenal. We were like, who is this kid? A leader? You know, plays a similar sort of midfield role of like a centre midfielder versus a defensive midfielder. Great range of passing. He's apparently very good at intercepting the ball, which Arsenal was shocking at last season. So I love this signing. And it's an unknown. And you know what? If it doesn't work out, we spent 18 million. You'll probably be able to, or Edu might not be able to recoup that. Just give him away for free next year. But I think it's got all the hallmarks of a great signing. And the other thing that I love about it is Arsenal brought Danny Ceballos back last season. Incredibly one pace, couldn't really deliver what we were looking for. And for me, I think Lokonga is an upgrade on Ceballos. Like, your double pivot now of Thomas Partey and Lokonga starts to look quite an imposing double pivot. But it's not, like you say, it's not two guys that are just going to mow people down. This is two guys that can break with the ball at speed and pick out their men. You know, like I like that we're signing athletic, fast technicians. Yeah. And, you know, and I know that we're talking about young players, but Thomas Partey's only really been with us for 6 months, right? He played three games up until January. Like, think of how many players over the years have taken longer than 6 months to really break out. Like, Partey next season could be a phenom. So I'm excited to see that. And also the idea that Lokonga gets mentorship from someone as good as Partey. I mean, like, you're starting to build succession plans at Arsenal. And the final thing that I like about it is Arsenal have spent the last 5 years taking shortcuts to the Champions League. If we sign players that look like Champions League players, a bit older, a bit more experienced, they'll drag us into the Champions League. It's never worked. And now it feels like this transfer window, finally, someone at the club said, we've got to do this the hard way. We've got to sign young players for low price points that have very high ceilings, and they're going to develop with a young coach that we think is one of the best young coaches around. And then when we land in the Champions League, all these players are going to be 25, 26, not 31 to 33. So we can actually compete in 3 years' time for the biggest trophies in the game. So I'm excited. I thought Tavares. I thought that goal he scored was brilliant, because it's like we didn't have a backup left back that could do that last season.
No, and I do want to be clear for those that, you know, are like, oh, Pete's just come out with some wild hyperbole comparing Lokonga as the new Vieira. We're not about that on the pod. It's not about random hyperbole. But I do think Tavares is the best left back in the world, actually. He's top scoring left back internationally right now in preseason games in Glasgow. So That has to mean something. But no, of course.
On the hyperbole, I'm not like, I know that that could get interpreted as like, you know, how people will interpret that on the internet. Patrick Vieira was captain of Cannes, 19, I believe. Lokonga has been captain of Anderlecht for a couple of seasons. They both play the same position. They can both cover a lot of ground at speed. They're both good at tackling. Great range of passing. Like, I don't think it's outrageous to compare the skill set. It's outrageous to compare where Patrick Vieira ended, but I don't like, they feel like look alike from a skill set is kind of what I meant there. And yeah, I'll go over the top, but we go over the top over every young player because they're always going to be the next Cesc, the next Vieira.
I agree, and I do actually kind of I do understand where you're coming from. Maybe that being said, I get a little sensitive around Patrick because he just was just unbelievable. He's just an unbelievable football player. He just makes me happy watching highlights
back
of the
Palace match. Making good signings.
Can't wait. No. Yeah, I hope they win 36 games next year. Really do.
He signed a lease. Ooh, a lot of Arsenal fans wanted him. The fullback from Chelsea. He's gonna gun at it.
I hope he does well. I really do. But the thing, you know, you mentioned about what Lokonga said, and I thought that his interview was quite interesting when he was talking about his preferred positions. And this is why, you know, between both of us, we're doubling down on the fact that this guy is a technician. And anyone who thinks that we've just signed some geezer to do some runarounds, that's not what he's about. And he was saying about, I can play as a box-to-box midfielder. And that's probably what a lot of Arsenal fans thought that he, the role he would be filling anyway in that party mode. But he's like, I can also play as an attacking midfielder as well, because he's like, I am comfortable on the ball. Like, and obviously the step up from Anderlecht to playing Premier League football with Arsenal is that, you know, there's a dramatic step there. But if you're doing it in the same way as Vincent Kompany was, and you mentioned about... who was the example you just gave about Vieira, being captain at a young age. Like, it doesn't mean that it's approval at that age when they've done it, you know, in their younger, more formative years of their career. But it does bode well. There's no question about it. It bodes well that they are
19 years old, bossing 30-year-olds around. Yeah, I agree. There are very few players in the world that can break into a top side I don't know whether the Belgium league is like what you would call a top league, but you know, Anderlecht are a prestigious club in Belgium, so to be captain that early on, it normally pinpoints you out for some sort of greatness wherever you go. And look, I'll take anybody that wants to be a leader in our squad, because we've certainly lacked the accountability over the years. So I think it's a really good signing, and I hope that we continue to make more of those smart signings. And I love it when Arsenal fans are like, well, I'd never heard of him before, so you know, why should I believe that this is a good player? Because you shouldn't. The scouts should be better at scouting players than fans, and realistically they haven't been over the last few years. I think most Arsenal fans with a basic competence in football could have spent better money on talent from around Europe over the last 5 years. But this summer feels a little bit different, even with Ben White. We know he plays in the Premier League, but who spotted that was a £50 million player last season? And I like it that they've recognised something unique in his skill set, because that means it's more than Raul's mate knows a defender who might be half decent.
It's a great shift. It's a great point. And this is kind of what I've wanted for a while. Like, sometimes last year when... we weren't doing very well. And I would be like, look, we need to replace a lot of players here. A lot of Arsenal fans were singing from the same hymn sheet anyway. And some people, usually pro Arteta fanboys, if you will, they would jump in with, okay, well, you know, he's still trying to get his squad together. And who would you sign in? Who would you get rid of? And stuff like that. And it was always like, look, it's not up to me to pick out all of these players, because what they try to do is they try to pigeonhole you into a name, so that if that player ends up having poor success in their own you know, league, or they don't come, or they do come and they don't work out. They're like, see, your opinion's redundant. Whereas it's like, no, I'm just saying, this is what I've been trying to say about the profile of player we need rather than specific name. I could give you specific names if you want to say, can we sign Cristiano Ronaldo? Yeah, get that guy. But outside of that, when you start coming into certain names of players, we, you know, a lot of us, a lot of times we're prisoners of the moment. Someone has a good month and we're like, yeah, that guy's the guy we need. We're going to be able to turn it around. I kind of feel a little bit like that about José Mouar, actually. And I think that if we can get him for a good price, then, you know, I think definitely make the call. But I don't think we should pay over the odds for him. I've not seen enough for me to feel like he is a culture changer at Arsenal, like genuinely going to grab us by the scuff of the neck and drag us to success. I don't think he's that kind of guy. And I think we may have actually seen similar signings to him in the past. But, you know, the scouts, as you rightly pointed out, should know, you know, rather they should be scouting to order. This is the profile of player that we need to fill in this position. And it may be different to the one, to the current incumbent in that position, i.e. Granit Xhaka, for that matter. And we've seen the Lokonga, quite a dramatic shift away from Granit Xhaka's profile. But they should know, they should have a handful of players as potential solutions to all of those profiles. And yeah, like you said, sometimes we should be being surprised by who they're coming up with.
Yeah.
Unless it's this guy's just won the Ballon d'Or, then yeah, I want a bit of surprise, because it's the only way that Arsenal's name is hanging in there with a top player in 3 years' time, because we ain't going to be able to sign a ready-made world-class player now, because why would they want to come to us?
Yeah, and I want to say, looking like some of the people from the Le Grove comments section have joined and are fighting in the comments already, you animals. I've got Raptora, Mr. Serge, and Terraloon all having a little chat. Terraloon asked this question. He said, simple question, why weren't other clubs all over him? And I think that this is the sort of thing that only, you know, because Arsenal fans are so sort of bent out of shape with how bad we've been over the last few years. We assume if no other clubs involved, that means he's a shit player. I would say that there are a number of things. Firstly, if you do your scouting right, the job is to identify talent that other people aren't looking at, so you can keep your costs low. I think secondly, there's a relationship there between Arteta and company, and maybe Omri and some of the analysts at Arsenal, you know, flagging that there's a super talent. And I know that people struggle with this. Arsenal's still a big club, you know. We're still a big club. We still have draw. Arsene Wenger did a great job like rebranding the entire operation. And we're in Arsenal. We've got an incredible training ground facilities. Like, London is a big deal. It's a big deal around the world. And to play football at that stadium with players like Aubameyang, you know, players like Thomas Partey. I mean, it's a great place to be. So I don't think that there's a problem that other clubs weren't in for it. And from what I understand, there were other clubs sniffing around from Italy anyway. But look, just be happy that we got in there first and we used good scouting and relationships to make the deal happen. I'm pleased with that.
Yeah, I don't see it as an issue at all. And if anything, I actually think that this is what we should be aiming for a lot more. Players that that other clubs aren't necessarily in for. Because it's like a food chain, right? And in previous years, we have certainly found ourselves, or it was our perception as fans, but also it was true that we were further up the food chain. We had things like Champions League football to offer, packed stadiums, world-class players within the team, loads of things to draw people to Arsenal. Whereas we've now, for me, gone over that threshold of time where we have been at the Champions League. Our list of world-class players, I don't know if we've got any at the moment, to be honest. And that's the reality of it. I'm not sure Aubameyang gets there anymore. And Thomas Partey would have to prove that this year. And the young boys have still got a little bit way to go to reach those levels. So we haven't got the same draw that we used to have. But of course, the infrastructure, the stature of the club remains, you know, we're one of the top, certainly in the top 10 clubs in Europe. I'd go even lower than that. But we are going to have to, you know, box more clever than what we had to in the past, where we could maybe let an intermediary club like a Leicester or a Southampton, root out these players, take punts, find the good ones, and then go and pillage them. Because now when we start trying to pillage teams like Southampton or Brighton, as we've just seen, or a Leicester, they're saying, we want top money. And that's if the that's if they even want to go, because they might look at, you know, a Leicester City as, no, I'm not moving to Arsenal, because, you know, technically it's a move down in the league, on a league front anyway. So, of
barely.
Course, only barely, but, you know, they won a cup. So, at the end of the day, I think that having players who are not complete punts, not like Yaya Sanogos or geezers who really, it would be like a lottery win if they came good, but just people who have already got a decent profile and they're educated punts based off good information and kind of good relationships that we've built up, we should absolutely be embracing that model moving forward.
Arsene Wenger said in 2007, we don't buy stars, we make them. And we're going back that way. You know, if you've got a developmental coach, let them coach. Find players that have got the right raw ingredients to go to the top, the right mentality, and then see where see what happens from there. But I'm excited by the signing. I don't care that nobody else was in for him. I just like the high-profile people are saying good things about him. And look, if you get the call-up to Belgium midfield, you're a good player. I don't care what anybody says. You've got everything that you need to succeed. And let's just hope he applies himself, adapts well, picks up the language. I mean, most European kids speak the language anyway, so I'm not really worried about that. But I think it's a great signing for Arsenal, and hopefully we can get a few more deals over the road. Because we're kind of closing out now, a few bits and bobs to tackle. Just wanted to say that, you know, everybody read the news about Ivan Gazidis today. Got a throat cancer diagnosis. You know, sending well wishes to him. That's horrible to hear, and hope he gets well soon.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is one of those bits where, regardless of you know, your viewpoint on him for footballing reasons, and I think there are, you know, there's a fair bit of reasons to not necessarily hold him in the highest of esteem for footballing reasons. It just goes out the window at moments like this, and you wish him and his family all the best, and, you know, hopefully he makes a speedy recovery.
Yeah, I think at least he's in great hands. I think they've got brilliant hospitals in Milan. The second bit, like I'm retracting my condemnation of the home kit. I didn't know it had hoop socks. Nobody told me it had hoop socks. It looks fantastic.
I didn't know. I didn't even know until you just told me. Yes. I didn't know that. I've seen the top. That was the headline grabber. But hoop socks in general is something that I can very much get involved with. When I do fantasy league, I'm always having hoop socks. Like, you get to pick your kit as well as you, and hoop socks all the way. Let's go. Definitely.
I've got very positive vibes about that. I think hoop socks was the first Nike kit for Arsenal 96-97. Dennis Bergkamp rocking them.
Love it. Yeah. It's so weird, isn't it, how great eras at your club can make you have an affiliation for even kit design. It's like, bring us back to the hoop socks when we can be brilliant again, and Lacazette or Aubameyang's going to turn into Dennis Bergkamp. Like, I don't think it quite works like that with the Cinderella wand, but it makes us reminisce for positive reasons.
For better times, yeah. And then I think we've got a game this weekend. We were supposed to be playing Inter. I don't know where that's going, but the Arsenal team are flying over to America. I'm not going to go down to Florida to catch that one, but we'll certainly be watching it on Sunday. Johnny, maybe we do an On the Whistle on Sunday. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, that could be something. Yeah.
On the Whistle Twitch for a preseason game that hopefully we play a little bit better in.
Yeah. Well, we'll check that. Check diaries. I don't want to commit at this stage. But I am. Yeah, if I'm free, I'm down to ride, definitely. And, you know, at the end of the day, if we've got an On the Whistle where people can watch, that's something special. That's a great little offering, isn't it?
That's I think that takes it to the next level next season. So on that note, Johnny, do you want to tell people where they can find you on the internet?
I'm on my socials, all of my socials, including Twitch, at iJohnnyCochran. Do give me a little follow and interact. Yeah, it's always nice to chat Arsenal and other things at times as well. So, yeah. And apart from that, no, just get me on my socials and any other news that breaks, I will release on there first.
Awesome. Thank you to everybody that watched along on Twitch. Thank you to everybody that watched on YouTube Live, our first YouTube Live. We might go live on Twitter next week. Oh, look, Raptora sucking up to Johnny in the comments section. Raptora. Big fan of Johnny. Oh, brilliant. On that note, pick us up on the podcast a little bit later on. Give us a 5-star rating, and we will be back with another live Arsenal preview next week. Thanks for watching.
Whatever you're funny, Peacock's got it exclusively. Stream classic sitcoms like The Office, Parks and Recreation, and 2.5 Men. Plus, catch Peacock original comedies like AP Bio and Saved by the Bell. For all your exclusive comedy faves, go to PeacockTV.com and get started.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.